Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is the latest podcast from our current teaching series, Jesus 3D.
Father, we thank you for another opportunity to open the scriptures together. We pray, God, that you would help us to see something new today, or to see something in a new way. We pray, God, that you would help us to understand and remember today what it means to embrace and to have faith in the message and the announcement that Christ brings into the world. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we got started with our Jesus 3D series, and we started with a couple of verses from the Gospel of John about Christ coming into the world. And maybe you remember, you sang these verses earlier. Do you think you can quote John 3:16? Let's try it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, they work, everlasting, eternal. That's fine, yeah. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, right? So we saw in that last week, we saw Christ coming into the world. We saw the Son, right, the identity, motivated by God's love, coming into the world to save, right? Not to condemn, to save. It's a salvation mission motivated by love in the person of Christ. And Jesus came into the world to save the world. That's what those verses tell us. Those verses from the mouth of Jesus tell us. The mission is a salvation mission. And salvation is one of these words that Christians get so used to saying that it starts shrinking and it starts flattening out and it starts turning into phrases like, are you saved? Or is he saved? Or is she saved? Or, you know, don't you want to be saved? Right? And those are all great things to ask and say, except sometimes I think it just gets kind of shrunk down into, do you believe a couple of things, and is your ticket for heaven in hand? You know, that salvation is somehow about just some religious, theological part of being for someday. See what I mean? So when you hear the word salvation, you think about some beliefs and someday. Okay? And that's a very flat, two-dimensional kind of way to think about salvation, right? For in the New Testament, we see people talking about salvation in three ways. They say, we've been saved. Sometimes the New Testament writers talk about how we have been saved because of what Christ has secured, okay? And then sometimes, like Peter in his letters, says things like, we will be saved. That it, looking forward to an end time when all things are put to right, and at that end time, we experience salvation, okay? And those are great, but I'm glad that the Bible also talks about now, that we are being saved. That salvation isn't just a theological perspective or a someday promise, it's about a today way of living. Okay? Somebody after the first service, some science person came up to me and said, actually, Dave, time is the fourth dimension, so your series is lacking. You need Jesus 4D. Yeah, okay. It's just shtick to package the sermon series, okay? Don't take it too seriously. It wasn't a scientific equation or anything like that. But I do want us to have this sense that we are seeing things in a deeper dimension, that we don't let words like salvation turn into a little two-dimensional idea in some Sunday school quiz, that we actually start seeing the idea of salvation as deep and rich as the life you're living. Because I am not living someday. You know, I never wake up this morning, wake up in the morning and go, oh, eternity is going to, eternity is not what I'm thinking about. You know what I'm thinking about? Oh, I got to go do this, or I got to go do that, or that isn't, right? I mean, today is my problem, not someday. Today is my problem. And today is where I'm experiencing the stuff that's making me sad or feel squashed or feel insufficient. Today is when I'm wrestling with the things that I do or say or am that seem to diminish me. I need a salvation, not just about what's been done and not just about what's going to happen. I need a salvation that's as deep and real and three-dimensional as the experiences I'm going to have today. I need a salvation that doesn't just deal with some theological theory about my relationship with God. I need a salvation that helps with the reality of the relationship I have with my children and my wife and my friends and my enemies. You see, salvation isn't just about religious stuff. I mean, if you take religion and someday, it's just this tiny little slice of your being. It might be very important, but what we need is a three-dimension. We need Jesus into the workplace. That what I believe about Jesus is relevant at my workplace, that it's relevant in my family, it's relevant in my choices, it's relevant in my thinking, it's relative in my speaking, right? And so, last week we saw in those verses the idea of Christ coming into the world, motivated by love, God's love, Christ coming into the world to bring about salvation. In our text today, I want us to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And in these verses begin with the little phrase, after John had been put in prison. Okay, and so a little context there. John that shows up in these verses is John the Baptist. And you remember John the Baptist? And you probably, if you're a Bible reader or been around church much, you know that John got put in prison and it didn't end well, right? Why did John get placed in prison? Well, he got placed in prison because he was a target. And why was he a target? Because he spoke truth to power. John spoke in a world where there was tradition and religion and the temple worship and the religious practices and even the understandings of what it meant to be a Jew had been sort of co-opted in that it was a power thing. And he lived in a world where there were foreign powers that were occupying Jerusalem and occupying Judea. And these powers had their secondary leaders and people running the show. And John was, does anybody remember how shy John was when he spoke to these people? You know, they'd show up to hear him speak, and he'd call them things like snakes and vipers, and he would do things like talk about how they should repent because the axe was already poised and ready at the root of the tree to cut it down, right? And you probably have lived long enough to realize that when you are addressing people in power, whether it's political or religious, for you to stand up and look them in the eye, maybe point your finger and say, you're going down because you're wrong, isn't the thing they want to hear from you. And you become a target. You become somebody that they won't be disappointed to see quieted and shut down yourself. And so John, we're not surprised John's put in jail. But it's a small part of the text. It begins the text, but I want us to remember that when Jesus, the rest of this text, these little verses we're looking at today, they follow on the heels of after John was put into prison. And you might as well read these verses after John was put in prison for speaking to power and saying there's going to be a change. Jesus came and the change began. Okay, so it's not just like a little hiccup in the road, it's actually saying after John was put into prison, the very things he talked about started to happen. Okay? And so Jesus came into the world announcing. The way I put it in the title of the text of the sermon today is the message he proclaimed. It could be the message he announced. Okay? Because Jesus came with an announcement. Do you like announcements? That word has been just so gutted and so weakened. You know, because usually when you hear the word announcements, you think about a long series of details that your eyes roll back in your head and you think, announcements, yes. Now, an announcement is a powerful word. I need to make an announcement. I mean, that phrase, I need to make an announcement, can strike hope or terror into the person who hears that. I mean, if you're working for a large company and you've heard rumors that things aren't going too well and that this morning they're going to announce our second quarter profits and the rumor is it's going to be disappointing, and you show up to work and you hear on the news that the profits were announced and it was disappointing and shares are going down, and then you get to work and there's a little memo and somebody's walking around your department saying, hey everybody, we're supposed to assemble in warehouse 3 today because the CEO needs to make an announcement. Are you thinking happy thoughts? You know, it's probably a pep rally. No, the last 4 or 5 years probably strike fear into you. You think somebody's going home without a job today, right? But it could be the exact opposite. An announcement is great. Like if a house comes spinning out of the sky and lands on the Wicked Witch of the West, and the mayor comes and proclaims an announcement, you might walk away from that announcement going, ding dong, the witch is dead, right? Because in other words, something big has happened and it changes things. Okay? And that can be for the worse or that can be for the better. Jesus came making an announcement. And every important announcement has these aspects to it. There's something new, and that something new is coming in the form of some person or some new development, okay, who or what, and that it's going to change the way things are. Something new is going to happen. What are we going to do, right? And then the last thing that really makes an announcement worth paying attention to is it has something to do with you. So when somebody announces, I'm getting married in October, save the date. You see, there's a who involved, somebody's going to do something, it's about something that's going to change, and here's what's going to happen, and here's how it involves you. Presumably, you're interested in hearing about that date because it's something or someone you care about. So Jesus comes into the world making an announcement that there's something new about to happen. And it's going to happen through his agency. It's through him that it's going to happen. And it's going to be about what he has come to do and how this changes the world for us. All right? And the first thing Jesus announces is good news. He characterizes his announcement as good news. Would you read the text with me? Here we go. Verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus came proclaiming good news. This is a good announcement. He came, that word proclaiming could be translated, he came announcing. He came saying, there's a change. Something new is happening. And this is really, I think this wording would have meant more. You know, Paul or Mark, his gospel is one of the, generally considered to be the oldest of the four gospels, okay? And generally considered to be written with a Roman audience in mind, okay? And so That's the people that would have been reading the way Mark writes it like this. And I don't know if you remember. Do you guys remember the last time there was a new Caesar and we got an announcement about it? No, I mean, you don't have any context for this. But in the first century, during the time of Christ, when there was a shakeup and a new Caesar ascended to the throne, do you know what would happen? People would come riding in on horses. There'd be these big banners on poles, and there'd be somebody with a very official-looking document with a seal on it. And you know what they would do? They would come riding into town, and they would say, "We have an announcement to make. There is a new Caesar, and the empire is going to be different now. And this new Caesar, it's good news for you people here," right? It's good news for you. That's what they would do. They would go out proclaiming good news about a new leader. And so I don't think this would be lost on Mark's readers. I don't think it'd be lost on Jesus' audience when Jesus comes and he says, "I'm announcing good news." In fact, through the New Testament, generally speaking, they played off of a lot of Roman, you know, when you see Jesus is Lord being said all the time in the New Testament, that's a real play off of during that time, the common greeting was Caesar is Lord. And the Christians kind of had this subtle little way of saying, yeah, there's Jesus is our Lord. And when Jesus comes announcing good news, he's saying there is a new king in town. There is a new possibility. Something is about to change in the world. It has to do with Jesus. It has to do about what God wants done, and it involves you and me. It's good news. So who is Jesus? He's the one who announces change. He's the one who announces hope. He's the one who announces authority. And this, by the way, is a very weird thing about Jesus. Lots of times when I read about Jesus or read scholars, they talk about, you know, you wouldn't be surprised for a rabbi, somebody from Jesus' social standing in Palestine at that time to say, "Gather around, I have some new insights, some new interpretations of the Old Testament. Or I have some new ways of thinking about what the prophets have said." That wouldn't be surprising. In fact, that is not what surprised people about Jesus. The people had met and experienced many a rabbi that said, "Here's a way to think about this verse," or "Here's a way to think about Israel." The thing that people marveled about with Jesus is he didn't just come and say, "I want you to think about it this way." He would say, "Now go and do that." I mean, people would come to Jesus and say, "What should I do?" And he wouldn't just say, "Well, here's how I see the law." Jesus would say, "Go do this and you will live." And Jesus would finish a talk by saying, "If you hear my words and put them into practice, then you're wise." And people marveled because when he spoke as one telling them what to do, like he was in charge. He spoke as one who was in charge. When Jesus in Matthew 28 tells his disciples, "Go into all the world," how does he preface that phrase? He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus spoke as one in authority. And so when he comes and announces good news, he's saying, "I have come to bring change. You can put your hope in me. I have the power and authority to make this happen." Okay? Now, is that something that Mark's just assigning to Jesus, or is this something that Jesus actually thought about himself? Well, I would say that if you read the gospel, it sounds like that's what Jesus thought about himself. In fact, if you turned over and looked at a passage not too far from where we see Jesus here in Mark 1, you know, Luke has the Christmas story a couple of chapters in before that. When you get to Jesus announcing his purpose, Luke tells us a story about Jesus being in Nazareth. And you remember I tell this story quite often because I think it's a very important thing to see Jesus begin his ministry and tell people what his ministry was about. In fact, I wrote out those verses here. It says that in Luke 4, it says that Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, notice he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. You know, Jesus has a history. Jesus grew up learning things, thinking things. He didn't just make this as a casual or rash statement. Jesus, by the time he's announcing the good news, by the time he's proclaiming the good news, he's an adult. He's been in a family that prayed and read the scriptures. He's gone to Sabbath. He's studied with the rabbis. He knows the texts, okay? It says that he went where he had been brought up in Nazareth on the Sabbath day, and he went to the synagogue as was his custom. Had Jesus been to the synagogue before? It was his custom, right? Many times. He stood up to read because they said, Jesus, it's great to have you back home. Would you do the scripture reading for us? And he said, well, what are we reading today? And they said, well, you're going to love this. The PowerPoint has Isaiah. It says he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. I love that. They handed him Isaiah. You know, it was an assigned reading. And Jesus unrolls the book of Isaiah, which is a pretty long scroll. And so there was probably a wait for him to get to that. He found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord. Now he's reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Does that sound like change? Good news for the poor? Do the poor have plenty of bad news? Jesus comes to announce good news. There's going to be change. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That all sounds like good news to me. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim that God sees us, loves us, cares about us, and has sent me here to do something about it. Right? It says that then Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. In the synagogues, the practice was stand for the reading of the word, sit when you comment on it. So it says, Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Because, I mean, this is a dearly loved passage of Scripture. This is filled with the promise of good news from the prophet Isaiah, right? So what's Jesus going to say about it? It says that he began by saying to them, and man, this I love this, sit down, what's he going to say? It says, today, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, the agency through which that, the person who is going to do this is here. Whoa. And if you read the gospel text, you see that not only did Jesus have that understanding of who he was, but the people who he said this to, it was not lost on them. They knew he was saying that he was the one. Okay, so Jesus comes and announces good news. Something's going to change. It's going to happen through me. Here's what I'm going to do. It affects your world, right? So we see Jesus understanding his purpose of call. And what does he announce? What do these verses tell us about the good news? First of all, he announces that the time has come. Look at our text again. It says he came proclaiming the good news, and he begins with, the time has come. Have you heard that phrase before? For instance, if we said, we're going to go out to eat, okay? And maybe it's a family gathering, and you know how that goes. We're going to go out to eat. When are we going? Well, we're going to go soon. And you see this is going on, this is going on. And then finally, somebody stands up and says, okay, let's go. The time has come, right? What are they saying? Enough of the talk. Let's do it. Jesus came announcing the good news that the world needs a change, and he had come to help start the change, initiate the change. The new possibilities were coming into the world, and he starts by saying, let's start now. The time is now. What will happen? Well, they had been hoping something would happen for a long time. Jesus says, now is the time is going to happen. What's going to happen? I am here to advance God's agenda in the world. I am here to start everything into motion for the redemption of the world and mankind. Well, okay, Jesus, that's a powerful thing to say. We get it. We want to come. Other people have said this. What makes you different? What makes you different, Jesus? And if you look at Jesus through the Gospels, and by the way, this is a really good way to read the Gospels. As you read the Gospels, think about what Jesus came to announce, and then think about how does the Gospel, how do the stories, how does what Jesus says and do, how does that stack up to back up his announcement? Jesus says, I've come to make a change. It involves you. There are new possibilities. How does he do that? Well, Jesus does it sometimes through teaching. If you look through the Gospels, constantly he's talking about the kingdom of God is like this, right? And he tells a story that helps us understand how to live, how to be, how to do. So he announces the time has come. It's time for us to just quit talking about the possibilities. It's time for us to embrace them. I think, again, this gets back to our two-dimensional salvation idea. I think that many of us have this, just bear with me, see if this resonates with you. Yes, I believe in God, and I believe God has the power to make a difference, and I believe that someday all things will be put to right. But today, that's just the way it is. Have you ever said that's just the way it is? Or maybe worse yet, you know, the thing I hate to hear? I especially hate to hear it come out of my mouth. That's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Because you know, as well as I do, that if there's going to be a change in the world, where's that change going to start? It's going to start with me. And if I don't even think the message is good for now for me, how can I possibly think that the world can change? You see, Jesus says this, what God wants and the way the world is don't have to be so far apart. I've come to bring it back together. And I've come so that you can follow me and that you can find life in me and that the Spirit of God, that he can change your hearts and your minds and one by one, person by person, family by family, nation by nation, one by one, we can get closer to a world that is what God wants the world to look like. When we say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And by the way, we probably don't pray that enough. Early Christians prayed that many times, every day at least. Because it reminds you, you can't pray that prayer without saying, something is coming. Something is possible, and it starts with me. And so the beginning of the good news, not just back there thousands of years ago in Palestine, but for you and me right now, the good news is Jesus can change things. When? Now. Good. Somebody's listening over there. And so when Jesus tells these stories, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a pearl of great price. The story does not end with, and he thought, someday I sure hope I get a pearl like that. That's not how the story goes, is it? How's the story go? he sells everything he has to get it. In other words, this possibility changes the way he lives when? Now. And I'm telling you, friends, that if you have a good news that's only about someday, that's not 3D. The good news you want is about something that changes the way you live now. Secondly, Jesus announces that the kingdom is close. In other words, the power, the resources, the guidance, the wisdom of the kingdom is at hand. Notice Jesus says, the time has come. Now is the day. Today's the day. The kingdom of God has come near. What God is doing, what God wants, how God would like the world to be, what the world is and needs to be, it's all coming together. Jesus is just the beginning of it. His followers are joining him, and one by one, the kingdom of God is invading earth. And our goal as Jesus followers is to see the kingdom take over our lives, our families, our community. How can that happen? How can that happen? It's going to take a lot of power, isn't it, for that to happen? It's going to take some of that authority Jesus claimed to have, right? When you read the Gospels, if you start here in Mark, you got your finger in the book of Mark there still? Look at chapter 1. What's the next thing that you see after Jesus saying this? After Jesus makes his announcement, somebody, do you have a heading in your Bible? What's the next heading in your Bible? The first disciples, okay, he calls people. What else? What's next? Next heading. Driving out an unclean spirit. What's the next heading? Healings. You see, if you read the Gospel of Mark, he puts it right up front. He says, here's what Jesus came to announce. Now, look what he started to do. He made his announcement. He told people, will you join me? And then he started exerting power. Power over the spiritual realm. Power over disease. Power over the physical realm. Even things like power over, like calming a sea. Power over nature. Why would Jesus do all those things in the Gospels? Because if you're going to make an announcement that you have the power to change something, it'd be really good to demonstrate that if you want people to believe you and follow you. And so Jesus does things that demonstrate that the world doesn't have to be as it is. But he also calls people to follow him. He doesn't just come into the world and go, bing, now the world is as I want it to be. No, because you know the world Jesus wants, the world God wants, is a world where you and you and you and I, one at a time, we decide, we acknowledge this king. We embrace this announcement. We enlist in this mission. Jesus challenges political and religious authority too, doesn't he? Jesus doesn't talk about we're stuck in the current political morass of things, does he? No. He challenges it and says, you know, there's a new way to live. There's a better way to live. There's a new kingdom. Jesus doesn't even allow, he doesn't just coalesce to the religious authorities of the day either, does he? I mean, what's the thing that Jesus says all the time in the Sermon on the Mount? Every new topic, what's he start with? You have heard it said. This is what you think. This is what I say. Jesus comes with authority. Authority over the spiritual realm. Authority over the physical realm. Authority over the political realm. Authority even over the religious realm. Christ has come. The new way is invading and changing and threatening anything that stands against what God wants. He announces the kingdom is close. Do you have a sense that God's possibilities, that his wisdom, his power, his presence are close and available to you? Not if you have a 2D kind of good news. But you see, I'm struggling. I don't want to just read about these things being said and done in the Scriptures. I want to struggle them. I want to say, here, Lord, this is the thing I need your wisdom with. Or here, Lord, this is the thing I need healing for in my life. Here, Lord, this is the thing I don't know how to do. Instead of just sort of saying, well, that's the way I am. And that's the way it is. I want to embrace the possibility that it could be different. Finally, Jesus says, you know, this good news isn't just an announcement. It's not just something I'm doing alone. It's something I'm inviting you to do with me. Notice he ends by saying, the kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. He starts by proclaiming the good news. And how does he end? By saying, repent and believe in the good news. Those are possibilities of participation. Repent means you turn away from something. Jesus says, turn away from the things that lead you away from God or lead you to turn away from the current way of doing things. Repent. Believe in the new possibility. Repent and believe the good news. This matters to me because I'm invited to join Christ in God's agenda. I had a really good talk this past week with a friend. I think he said, David, are you sitting out there someplace? David Haas, right there you are, okay. I won't go into the details. But we were talking about like moving mountains and the possibility, you know, what does it mean to have faith and to really embrace God's kingdom agenda? And we talked a little bit about how there's a big difference between just like praying for what I want and praying for what God wants, right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, so many of us, we have a fragile faith because there's things we want. And we say, God, give me the power and ability. That's what I want. That's what I want. And that doesn't always work out too well. You know, it turns out that sometimes the stuff we want isn't exactly what God wants to have happen. But do you see anything? Let me just ask you this. Do you actually see anything in the world that you're pretty sure God would like that different? Do you? Anything close enough that you could do something with it? I mean, I'm not saying it'd be easy. It might be threatening. Might cost you. I mean, you might not want to do it if you want to just kind of keep your neat and tidy life the way it is right now, right? Those are the mountains you should be praying to move. Those are the agendas you should be saying, what does God want done in this world? Lord, I believe you want that done in the world. Help me do it. That's the kind of radical enlistment we need. We need people who will say, that is an injustice and somebody should stand up against it. But if I stand up against it, what if they throw me in jail for that? If I stand up against it, what if I lose some friends? Somebody will unlike me on Facebook if I say that. Yeah? Well, you see, I think we've been settling for a 2D good news instead of embracing a three-dimensional gospel, a three-dimensional good news that's so dimensional it reaches right out of the screen and grabs you and says, do you really want in here? Do you really want to participate? I'm invited to join God's kingdom. I'm invited to turn, to believe, to join, to enlist. Right after Jesus announces his good news, what does he do? He turns to people and says, follow me. He doesn't just say, believe it. He says, join me. Be part of it. Go. Do. Give. He announces you and I are part of the redemptive plan that God has to change the world. That's more dimension than you wanted, isn't it? You were just kind of hoping for a gospel that changed a few things for you. And it turns out that Jesus' gospel asks you for everything to change the world. That's inconvenient. But it's deep and it's true. The good news is that today is the time. It's not about someday, it's about now. The good news is that the kingdom is here. God's presence, God's power, God's wisdom, God's strength, it's available to us. The good news is we're part of the good news. We participate. Let's pray. Oh God, use us, save us, move us so that we might not just have a two-dimensional belief, but a three-dimensional life rooted into the full meaning and depth of the gospel. Help us to be a church that understands that you are with us. Help us to be a church that understands that you are here with us to make a difference today. And help us to understand that you call us to join you in being part of what's changing the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.